Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore and left everything and followed him. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading is a continuation of the first one. It may be rather lengthy for us. A worship service reading, but I thought this would be a good opportunity for us to hear an entire chapter in the Gospel of Luke, because this fishing story that we have heard so many times does not stand alone. It is part of a larger story. And once the story of Jesus and the disciples fishing and calling the disciples ends, the story continues. And I would like for us to hear the rest of this story as it comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. So let us listen for God's word as it comes to us. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest. And as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting nearby. They had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. But when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, stand up and take your bed and go to your home. And immediately he stood up, took what he had been lying on, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen strange things today. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and the scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Then they said to him, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink. And Jesus said to them, you cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will feast in those days. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it in on an old garment. Otherwise, the new garment will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, the old is good. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I'm glad Jeff shared his fishing story with the young people earlier, because since this passage we started out with this morning is a fishing story, I thought I would talk a little bit about some of my fishing experiences. The truth is, I'm not much of a fisherman. And perhaps if I were more of a fisherman, I would probably appreciate this story a little bit more, because on the surface, not being a fisherman, I really don't see the miracle in this story. I mean, it looks to me like simply Jesus just knew where the fish were. And I'm sure you've all been fishing with somebody who knew where the fish were, even if it was a little stocked pond. So I just don't see the reason for these disciples to fall down and worship Jesus just because he knew where the fish were. If that were a reason to worship anybody, then I would be worshiping a lady that I used to know as Grandma Webb. When Peg and I were first married a few years ago, we lived on a little tidal river on the coast of Georgia between Savannah and Brunswick. If you have ever driven I-95 up that way, you have crossed the Jericho River. Peg and I lived in a little place on the Jericho River within sight of I-95 there. Grandma Webb was our next door neighbor. And we both had little floating docks back in our backyards on the Jericho River. And Grandma Webb sat on her dock and fished all the time. She had a cane pole, and she was constantly pulling in fish from the Jericho River. So one day, I picked up my cane pole and went over to sit on the dock with Grandma Webb and put my line in right next to hers. She would bring in fish. I just sat there. I said, "Well, why are you catching fish and I'm not catching fish?" And she said, "Well, here, you use my pole." We changed poles, but nothing else changed. Now she was catching fish with my pole. And I was catching nothing. And I was absolutely amazed. So if this were a fishing story about worshiping anybody, I would be worshiping Grandma Webb. So you see, this story is much more than a fishing story. That's one of the reasons I wanted to read the rest of that chapter, that fifth chapter of Luke, because Jesus takes these disciples deep sea fishing, and that's spelled S-E-E. He takes them out into deep waters, because that's what this story is about. It's not about the miracle of catching a lot of fish. The miracle of the story takes place between Jesus and the fishermen. It takes place between Jesus and these people that he have called to follow him. If we were to change the setting of this story from fishing to, let's say, a schoolroom or an office building or a sales call or a supper table or a field of hay or a construction site or a doctor's office, if we were just to change the location, the story takes place wherever we are. And the miracle of the story is the power of Christ, the transforming power of Christ, to awaken and excite the potential within each and every one of us to see what is really going on around us. Because you see, the section of scripture I read after the fishing trip, this is where Jesus shows the disciples what's going on around them. He opens their eyes to see as he heals this leper. He opens their eyes to see how this one healing of this leper spreads the word all through the land about Jesus. He opens their eyes to see what's going on around them. He opens the eyes of many people. Even the Pharisees and the scribes' eyes are opened. And they say, "Wait a minute, what's going on out there?" Did you catch that little line in the story where it said the Pharisees and the scribes came from all over Galilee and Judea? And that last little phrase, even from Jerusalem. People are beginning to see what's going on as Jesus is healing people and driving out their demons, as we talked about last week. But he does something really, really interesting when this paralyzed man is brought to him. They lower the paralyzed man through this roof. This is a favorite Bible story that we learn when we're kids about opening the roof and letting the man in. But do you notice that Jesus doesn't heal this man right away? What he says is, and this is interesting language. He says, because of their faith, which is indicating the people who brought him, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. There's this real interconnection here between the faith of the people who are bringing this man and Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven. So this immediately becomes sort of a theological, religious question. And the Pharisees and the scribes, oh, they realize that right away. And they straighten up and they say, oh, you can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. Why, this is blasphemy. And this is when Jesus says, well, would you rather me just heal him? And he tells the man, get up and walk. And he gets up and walks. So there's this interconnection between this whatever forgiveness of sins is and the ability of a person to be whole. And the connection with the people that bring him. And this upsets the religious authorities in his community. Because something new is going on here. Something's happening. And they don't have control of it. And right after this, Jesus goes and calls a tax collector to be one of his disciples. He just keeps doing things that are different. He calls this tax collector, and everybody says, oh, no, you can't call a tax collector. And then the tax collector throws a big party for him. And the Pharisees and the scribes start complaining about the party. Evidently, they accepted the invitation and went to the party. But they're complaining about, Jesus says, you're not acting right. This is not the way religious people act. These people are unclean. And Jesus says, well, I am here to reach out to everybody. I'm not here just to be your religious icon. I am here to reach out to, as he has already shown us in the Gospel of Luke, to the poor, to the hungry, to the outcast, to the people on the fringes of society. That's what this story ends up being about. That's what the disciples learn when Jesus says, you will be fishers of people. Your eyes will be open and you will begin to see all the things that are going on around you. Reading this story this past week brought back a vivid memory of an incident that happened over 20 years ago when I was a pastor of a small church in a small town in Forsyth, Georgia. His name was Lucas Garcia. One Monday evening, Peg and I were having dinner, and the phone rang. And on the other end of the line was a man speaking Spanish, broken English, Spanish, and he was speaking so fast, I could not understand what he was saying. I finally got through to him to please hand the phone to somebody else who might be able to speak with me because I heard some people in the background. Got somebody else on the phone and through a very confusing phone call, I basically heard him say in clear English, I need help. So I went to where he was. I was able to determine his location. He was on a payphone there in our little town. That's when we still used payphones. And Lucas had been out on I-75, which was right there by our little town. And he and a friend had driven from Alabama to Florida for his friend to see his family. And his friend spoke no English at all. But he had come to Florida where he had a wife and some children. I never really understood the details of that, but they had come to Florida to see his friend's family, and Lucas was riding with him. And they were in a borrowed van. Two Hispanic men in a borrowed van driving back from Florida to Alabama in middle Georgia at 3 a.m., and you can imagine what happened when the blue lights started flashing. As it turned out, Lucas's friend's driver's license had expired. They were in a borrowed van, and they ended up in the Monroe County Jail. Lucas had spent the entire next day trying to find somebody to help them and work as a very limited interpreter for his friend. And finally that night, they released him, and that's when he was able to find me in the Yellow Pages. Does anybody remember Yellow Pages? So Lucas and I then spent the next several hours trying to get him back to Alabama, where he had already missed being back at his job. They were trying to get back to a job working in a poultry plant in Alabama to be back on the job at 8 a.m. when they were stopped at 3 a.m. I called the poultry plant, was able to talk to the manager, explain the situation, and hopefully saved their jobs. We determined that there was a bus leaving Macon, Georgia at 8:15. And so we got him down to the bus station. The bus was going to Gadsden, Alabama. I bought him a ticket. I went up to the ticket counter and talked to the agent and said, please make sure he gets on the right bus. Tried to explain to Lucas how to make the exchange he would be making in Atlanta. And then it was time for me to leave. We said our goodbyes, and I walked and I got into my old Volvo station wagon, closed the door, looked back, and Lucas was sitting with his hand over his face. And I just sat there and thought, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to Lucas? And I did a couple of other things in the car. And the next thing I knew, there was a tap on my window. I turned around. It was Lucas. I rolled the window and I said, what's wrong, Lucas? And he leaned through that window and hugged me around the neck and said, I love you. I sat there and cried. And finally composed myself, started the car up. And as I drove off, I swear to you, that old Volvo station wagon was so full of fish, it was sinking. Because I had entered deep water. This is where Jesus calls us. Into the deep water of our lives. Into the deep water of other people's lives. And for many of us, it's a new place. It's new wine. And it won't fit in the old wineskin. It won't fit in our old ways of understanding. It won't fit in our old ways of us and them. Because it's a new way of understanding the world we live in. That the presence of God lives in each and every person, regardless of nationality, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation, regardless of political persuasion, regardless of all the artificial differences that we impose on one another. Each and every one of us is a human being created in the image of God. And that's a brand new skin to hold the new wine. And I think this is where Jesus calls us when he takes us deep sea fishing. Amen. My friends, these stories that we've been listening to from the Gospel of Luke, and particularly this fifth chapter of Luke today that we looked at, show us that when Jesus talks about the gospel, when Jesus talks about the kingdom, Jesus is not talking about some ethereal theological concept. Jesus is talking about the way we live our lives. I love this line, may we in service to our God act out the living word. The gospel is nothing unless people live it. And that's what we're called to do. Lucas Garcia's friend was still in jail. It took us about 3 days. But I called the pastor at the Baptist church and the pastor at the Methodist church. This is a small community. They were both good friends. And between the three of us, we had the county attorney, a judge, and the sheriff in our congregations. And we called them all in. And we said, how are we going to work this out? It took us 3 days. But we got his license renewed. We paid his fine. We got his impounded car out. And he got back to Alabama. Now, I never knew what happened to Lucas and his friend. But I do know that because we were willing to go into some deep water, they didn't waste away in that county jail. My friends, this is going on all around us, all over our country today. And it's being played out in the headlines of our newspapers. And we are being called to be disciples of Jesus Christ by living the gospel. Go into some deep water. Amen.